defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. Breaking news from The Onion. Expressing concerns about the propriety of being left alone with a syrup container of the opposite sex, Vice President Mike Pence reportedly asked the waiter to remove Mrs. Butterworth from the table until his wife arrived to join him at a local diner. "Excuse me, sir," he said. "Would you please take this out of my line of sight until my wife gets here?" Evidently, he attempted to put the sugar dispenser and the salt and pepper shaker between him and the feminine bottle of syrup. At press time, Pence had asked the waiter to pour the syrup on his pancakes for him, as it would be unseemly for him to handle the curves of the plastic woman. There you go. And you wonder, wow, is that real? No, The Onion is fake news, but it's really kind of funny. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about just how insane our vice president and that segment of the population is, I've asked our good friend Helene Olin to come talk with us. Writer, author, just all around fantastic person. Helene, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. And let me just say, as I always often say, The Onion is the best reporting out there, hands down, bar none. That was a great, great piece.
I loved it. I mean, it's one of those things that you had to talk about. And while it seems far out, it's really not.
It was absolutely pitch perfect. We should probably talk about this and explain what was going on for those of you who still did not tune into this scandal. Mike Pence was revealed to refuse to go to dinner alone with any female colleagues or be at parties where alcohol was present without his wife,
right,
where there would be female colleagues involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's not new news, though. I mean, and it's also something that Glenn Beck does.
Right. It's the Billy Graham theory, right? This is a thing you see in conservative religious circles, where women are apparently such temptation to these men that you cannot be alone with them. It's no different than, say, the Orthodox Jewish men who refuse to sit next to women on airplanes, which has been a scandal in Israel for years now. It's the same sort of theory. Unfortunately here, this isn't an airplane, and this has all sorts of not great ramifications for women's careers. It, you know, prevents serious networking, a lot of after-work socializing, and is all around a bad thing.
No, it is a bad thing. But the other question that pops up is it just dinner and socializing, or is it work or anything? Can you not be in? Because, you know, and the reason I brought Glenn Beck up is Glenn Beck would not be in a room alone with a woman without a witness being there. And again, you to highlight your point of this not being good for women, because evidently he can't control himself. You know, this is the kind of mentality that you have in the workplace, possibly.
Right. I mean, there was a story a few years ago, and we should preface this by saying, you know, Pence is not talking about this right now, so we really don't know what he's up to these days. It was an interview from 2002.
Right. Well, Pence is doing is he's cleaning up after Trump, picking up the executive right. orders that Trump didn't bother to sign.
Right, exactly. But this is a huge issue for women. We know this because a couple of years ago, a reporter for the National Journal interviewed a load of women who currently work for congressional offices in Washington and other political offices, and found the same thing, that many women talked about how they could not get time alone with their congressmen, who they worked for, that congressmen wouldn't meet with them without the door open, that there was, you know, nights out with the guys that they were not invited on, and so on, and that they felt that this was definitely impacting the influence they could have in Washington. And we see, of course, the same thing throughout the work world, right? That there are these after-hours events that are frequently male-only. And this is a problem, and it's a problem for a basic reason. While work is work, obviously, a lot of us, they take work outside of work. And if you're going to take work outside of work and have dinner with colleagues or go out with colleagues or hang out with colleagues, if you can't do that, you are operating at a massive disadvantage.
Right. But at the end of the day, I mean, Helene, the reality is men are men, and it's just how it is. You have to get over that, right?
Well, apparently it is your responsibility as a woman not to put yourself in that position, not the responsibility of the guy to control himself, right? I mean, that's what's so fascinating about this. It's just assumed that, you know, men cannot deal with this, and that you will be the one responsible, and you will deal with the consequences as a woman. And whether that's the consequences of dealing with one of these louts, or like, i.e. Donald Trump, right? Or, on the other hand, not getting the promotion, it's on you.
Right. So let me ask you this then, you know, because you brought up Trump, and if you're looking at Trump and Pence, because, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, during the election, I was asking women, you know, which is worse? Is it worse that you've got the guy who wants to walk up and grab you by the you-know-where, or the guy who wants to shove you out of the room and into a closet? Which is actually worse?
This is not an either-or. They're okay. Both horrible. They're both objectively horrible, and they both really show the same thing. They show a lack of respect for women. Obviously, nobody wants to be manhandled, but on the other hand, people want to be promoted and taken seriously as well.
Because the thing that scares me about Pence, and, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, once we impeach, we're going to impeach Trump. And I'm going, don't wish that to happen anytime real soon, because I fear Pence is actually worse, because he will unite the Republican Party and all kinds of ugliness will happen, including, well, you know, in my view, Christian Sharia law, which means, you know, you women are just so alluring that you're going to have to wear burlap sacks.
I tend to think if that happens, the party will be in such chaos. There won't be a lot that can be done, since I am sad to report old enough to remember what happened after Nixon resigned and Ford became president for a couple of years. But I think the fact is Pence is a scary guy, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Pence seems to adhere to a very, very right-wing view of the world, a very Christian view of the world. And Christian in a sense that I mean that is not particularly tolerant.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying Christian Sharia law. I mean, this is
right.
this is what the Cruises, this is what the Pences, this is what the Quiverful movement, this is what these folks want.
Right. I mean, born again is really the word I should use, right?
Well, insane.
And it's this view of the world that, you know, seems to think that it's back to several hundred years ago, and women have no real role in the public space without their men attached. And it's really kind of scary and concerning. And I think it says everything you need to know about who is actually in the White House right now, that people look at Pence as a viable alternative, that he seems reasonable because, hey, he at least knows politics, right?
Right.
Never mind the fact that his politics are reprehensible and awful, and we wouldn't want them in the White House either. It says really dreadful things about the state we're in right now.
Yeah, which is why I thought this the Onion story was just so perfect and spot on. And the other frame in this that I came up with is not just from the female point of view, but, you know, having Mrs. Butterworth or, you know, Aunt Jemima or the racial component possibly. You can't have those people here either at the table.
Right, and that's the thing, right? This is this view of the world is very male-centric, is very right-wing-centric, and is very non-inclusive, and would continue some really bad trends in our society right now.
So, again, women voted for these people, though. I mean, this is the scary thing, you know, and I know women aren't, you know, monolithic, and I know they're not single-minded and all of that, but at the end of the day, you know, is it that women have just gotten so used to this kind of second-class treatment that they just say, yeah, it is what it is, I'm going to have to deal with how I can, or is it that, you know, they're just, you know, maybe bubbling under the surface, ready to explode?
I think it's all of the above. I think there are a lot of women who heard the stuff and didn't really believe it, because you do hear it all the time, right? And you do sort of train yourself as a woman to ignore a lot of it. I think there are a lot of women who are just used to it and think it's business as usual. I think there are women who think they are exceptions to this, right? That was kind of the whole lean-in theory, not that that was written about, you know, Pence-Trump type people, but this whole idea that, well, there's this, you know, yes, there's this monolithic block that makes it harder for you, but if you lean in hard enough, you will be the exception, right? And then you can bring other women with you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things going on that could lead a woman to vote for Trump or Pence. And, of course, there is the fact, again, that they're not, as you said, they're not monolithic. And some might legitimately think that their interests are represented by this. I wouldn't agree with that, but I'm not the one pulling the lever for them.
Good point. But, you know, we saw that here in Pennsylvania. I mean, the lean-in theory didn't work for Hillary here because at the end of the day, Republicans didn't win Pennsylvania. Democrats chose to give it to them.
Right. And, you know, there was this sense that, you know, we were going to, Hillary Clinton was going to win. And that was an unfortunate sense, as it turned out, right?
Yeah, I never thought Hillary was going to win Pennsylvania. And it turned out to be exactly what I thought. Because, look, you know, here in Pennsylvania, and I've said for a while, it's the misogyny, stupid. Here in Pennsylvania, we had three, you know, white male candidates run for statewide office. The Auditor General, Attorney General, and the Treasurer. They all won their races by 5 points. The two women who ran, Hillary Clinton and Katie McGinty for Senate, they all lost. And
right.
That meant that about 6% of Democrats went to the polls and said, you know what, I'm going to vote for these three white males for the state rows. And, well, I'm going to vote for the crazy Republicans in the national rows.
Right. It's like men can be, you know, happily mediocre, but women have to be extraordinarily talented. I sometimes say this is why women are so exhausted all the time. It's not just that women are working at work and working at home and, you know, dealing with their kids. It's that even in all those parts of their lives, they have to be better than, right? You can't just be merely competent. You have to be the top 1% to even be considered competent. And that's a huge issue. And there is a lot of misogyny, and there's no question about it. And it, as you, to go back to the Pence thing, people tend to internalize this at a certain point, and you don't even think it's strange that, like, Pence, say, is going out to dinner with three male colleagues and not inviting a female along, unless his wife is there.
Well, did you see the picture that's been floating around on Twitter of all the white guys in the room deciding whatever policy was? It was all old white guys.
Right, and this is, by the way, I should say, becoming an increasing issue if you watch any of the TV news channels as well. I mean, there seems to be a lot more all-male panels going on, or panels where the famous example is, I think it was CNN, if I'm remembering right, they did a panel the evening of the Women's March, and it was either 8 or 9 men and 1 woman.
Well, they couldn't find the women. They were all marching.
It was the most absurd thing I'd ever seen. And you see this on talks about abortion, and you see this on talks about, and then, of course, you see this on talks about things that impact us all, like, say, foreign policy, Russia, regulatory changes like climate change legislation, right?
Oh, come on, dear. You don't want to worry your pretty little head about anything like that.
I'm too busy taking care of my kids.
Too busy with the recipes.
I think this has all been out there, and I think people are concerned about it. So I think when this Pence story broke, and as you know, it was in a Washington Post profile of his wife, and it was really squat in the middle of the profile, right? It wasn't the lead of the profile. It wasn't the kicker. It was just sort of put in there as a bit of factual information. And it just seemed to leap out at people. And I think it leapt out at people in part because this is something everyone has been noticing, that women are being slowly shut out of the public sphere.
But here's the thing, and this is where I think we white men better wake up. One, you outnumber us, and two, more of you are going to college and getting advanced degrees. You seem to be organizing a lot better than we are.
We seem to be organizing, but we still don't seem to be able to get the gold ring, right? And I don't know how that works out. I'm still trying to figure that out myself. Because it does seem that it should be more equal at this point.
And that's why you march, that's why you fight, that's why you, well, we make jokes about Mike Pence and Mrs. Butterworth.
Right. And I should say there was a study that came out last week that showed that, I think it was polling data, actually, not study, that, you know, the people most likely to call their congressman and, you know, otherwise protest Trump are middle-aged women right now.
Yep. Well, because they're angry, they're frustrated, they're upset, and good, they should be. It's
right,
what we need. Last question I've got for you. Would it have been different if it had been Aunt Jemima? Because I had this conversation between Mrs. Butterworth and Aunt Jemima. Maybe you just didn't have a preference for Mrs. Butterworth.
A female is a female is a female,
there
right? It doesn't matter how old she is, how young she is. If she's working, you're not supposed to be alone with her.
All right. Well, That's where crazy's taking us. Helena, I appreciate you taking time for us. Great talking with you.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
As always, our good friend Helene Olin. You want to check out their website? We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Helene's name. Take you right there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Rick Smith Show.